The following sermon is by Dan Thomas, pastor and teacher at Community Church in Edwardsburg, Michigan. If you've never visited us at Community Church, we invite you to join us at 28647 US 12 West in Edwardsburg. And now, here is Pastor Dan Thomas.
We have been going through the book of 1 Peter, and chapter one, really, we looked at the idea Peter wrote to them. He told them about the great eternal life that we have in him, the eternal promises, how great this is. And then he said, now, because you have that, here's some things you ought to have in your life. Here's what it ought to look like, how it ought to play out in your day-to-day life. And then last week, we got into where he was talking about that Jesus is the cornerstone. We are living stones. And we really see that we are in him and he is in us. And it's about this new life that we have, that we are these living stones, pet rocks, living stones that move and breathe and have our existence in him. And he is the source of our life. And now today, as we move on into some more of chapter 2 and chapter 3, we'll see that he's getting back to, hey, let me tell you what this looks like. And what he is going to talk about is this wonderful word here that we all love to see, the word submission. Doesn't that just bring warm feelings when you think about that? I was thinking about that. I don't know that any of us, I don't tease a ton with my wife. You might find that hard to believe, but she is not incredibly fond of playful banter, as I call it. She does not refer to it as that. She has a different name for it. And every once in a while, I really step out of line, and I honestly say this goofing around, but I'll say something like, woman, submit. she loves that. She really loves that. In fact, she found another church. That's why she's not here today. That does not sit well. But I was thinking, none of us like that concept of, okay, I am to submit. I love, and I mean this very sincerely, I love and I'm so thankful for police officers. I really am. I appreciate them greatly. Unless they pull me over. Last time I got pulled over was 15 years ago. I remember the time because it was the day of my son's high school graduation. And I remember sitting in the car wanting to scream out, hey, there's real crimes going on, and I just don't have my seatbelt fastened. There's murders and everything else. Why you pull? I did not scream it out, but I wanted to. And just that whole idea of somebody actually making me submit, I didn't like that idea, and we really don't. So I want to give you another word that we'll also think about today. That word is this, harmony. And I say, you say, well, how is that the same? And I had to double check this with Adam today. You know my musical ability. I can barely sing the melody occasionally on a few things. But as I understood it a little bit, melody is spread out, if you want to say like this, horizontally. But harmony fits in vertically, where you're singing above or below. Those of you that know music, hopefully I'm on the right track there. Okay, so it has to do with that verticalness. You know, one is higher than the other or whatever like that. And when we start talking about the idea of submission, it is never about being greater than or less than. I thought I'd dig out my junior high math symbols there. But it's never about saying that one person is better than the other or less than the other. But it is about different places, if you will, vertically. And we want to be respecting the design of God. And I also want to mention this before we even move into our text. The idea of submission throughout Scripture is given to all of us. Okay, we are to submit to one another. Okay, and again, we may not love that concept. And whenever anybody decides, okay, you know, back to a line I said before, a couple times I've had folks come to me, men will come to me, and they begin with this phrase, my wife will not submit to me. I just want to say as plainly as I can, that those never end well whenever I hear those words. Because, listen, anytime we take this and we use this as a weapon to club somebody, you say, what is a weapon? The Bible says it's a sword. Yes, it is. For spiritual warfare, it is most definitely a sword. It is not a weapon for me to club other people with. My least favorite kind of fight is the scriptural fight. Oh, yeah? Well, here's a verse for you. Oh, yeah? Like this, and people battle back and forth. It is never intended to be that weapon that you pick up and club somebody else with. And if you're in a situation where instead of looking at the Word of God and saying, God, how would you have me behave? You're looking and saying, this is how you're supposed to behave, you're never in a good situation. okay? Okay, I'm going to say that again. I want a couple people to look at me like you agree with me because it's true. Okay, so I'm not picking up that vibe, okay, that you're with me. Whenever I'm in a situation where instead of looking at the Word of God and saying, God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? Instead of doing that, I'm looking at other people and telling them, this is how you ought to do it. I'm in a bad situation. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Pastor, you are all over that one, buddy. All right, now let's go ahead and begin to dig into our text. And it really is very clearly laid out in three different sections. It talks about submission in the world, submission in the workplace, and submission in the home. Okay? You ready? What I do? Okay. No, we're not jumping to the third one. Okay. And you need to take notes. Okay. Okay, submission in the truest sense is having love and respect for one another so that we approach each other, we approach with humility. We'll come back to that idea. We really want to develop that and remember that. So the first area we look at, harmony in the world, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13, be subject for the Lord's sake. Whoa, that's a powerful little statement there, isn't it? For the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or as supreme, or to governors, is sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. I want to stop there just for a second, because when you look at what the New Testament has to say about the role of government, it is really captured in this. What God wants government to do is reward right and punish wrong. And kind of keep that in mind. A lot of times we have laws, especially financial laws, that reward bad behavior and they punish good behavior. You might have picked up on that some. Not really the design of law. It is supposed to reward, make good behavior profitable, if you will, and bad behavior not so much. For this is the will of God, that by doing what is good, submitting to authority in that way, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as people who are free, but using your not using your freedom as a cover for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, as we look at that section on submission to the governmental authorities, submission in the world or harmony in the world, I want you to notice a couple things. Start with the corruption government. Remember the time that this is written. Peter's writing this at probably the worst possible time for Christians. Nero has gone nuts. Okay, he is killing Christians at every chance he gets. He's blaming them for everything. Persecution is so intense, and Nero is about as corrupt a leader as you can get. I want you to remember that, because I think this is safe to say all of us probably see some corruption in government. Now, you might be convinced that it's the Democrats, every one of them is corrupt, or it's the Republicans, every one of them corrupt, or maybe you just think all of them are corrupt, and that's your view, but probably every one of us, if we process it, we can see that there's corruption. So sometimes we look and we say, well, I'll submit, but they're corrupt, so why should I have to submit to something that's corrupt? Okay, I want to stay with the second idea for a second. Also, the government overreach. Usually, again, when we think of that, there's many different areas where they can, but we think of taxation. Okay, now I'm going to talk about our taxes for just a minute here. If you'd like to record this and send this to the IRS, you can probably get rid of me. But if you've ever really thought about it, all of you know that your paycheck, you lose 25 to 50% right off the top. Is that safe to say? I think most everybody is 25% off that you're paying in taxes. Then you take and you add in there property taxes and automobile taxes, and then the hidden taxes that we pay on everything, because the companies have to pay taxes, and where are they going to get that money? They're going to get it by jacking up the prices, so it's all taxes. I think it is safe to say that we're all up in above the 50% category. I'm not really to have a political debate, but if you look at that, our taxes are nutso. I mean, remember the old revolutionary cry, taxation without representation? If those people had any idea of the tax rate that was going to come later, I mean, they'd be throwing more than tea in the harbor, I guarantee you about that. I mean, the tax rate has just become, so incredible. Again, if you'd like, good thing I'm not a famous preacher, because this would go viral and I'd be audited next week. Okay, but when you think about it, what were they griping about so much back even in the days of Jesus, the Roman emperor and the crazy, remember the tax, how hated the tax collectors were? Sure, they were corrupt individuals, but also just the idea that they're tax collectors, they're taking the money. They hated that idea of paying the taxes there. That was one of the questions they had for Jesus. Do we have to pay our taxes? Because come on, like that. What I wanted to do with those first two points is just get you to see that when Peter wrote this, the day was like ours is today. You know, we could say, yeah, but the government's corrupt now and it's overreaching. It was then too. That's what I want us to understand. And I also want us to realize that there is such a place in Scripture for what is called civil disobedience. Okay? There are places where people are doing the right thing and they disobeyed the government. One example would be Exodus chapter 1, where the handmaids were told to kill all the babies, and they said, no, we fear God more than we fear, what's the guy in Egypt? Pharaoh, thank you. We fear God more than we feel fear Pharaoh, so there we're going to do the right thing. I saw down the hallway today on the board, they were going to talk about Peter and John when they were arrested for preaching the gospel, and you know what they said? They said, we got to fear God rather than man. We're going to do the right thing. I wanted to take a minute and look at one other specific example in Scripture of civil disobedience. In the book of Daniel, you might be familiar with chapter 1, but Daniel was told that he has to eat a certain diet that he believed was wrong for him to do. Okay? So, and I have this all jammed on one slide. I don't know if everybody can see it, but from Daniel chapter 1, I think it starts at verse number 8, it says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. But God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in a worse condition than the youths who are your own age? So you could endanger my head with the king. I hear what you're saying, Daniel, but I got to obey the king. And here's what Daniel says. Daniel says to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. I love this passage because it has some good guidelines for, if you want to say, civil disobedience. It started with the words, Daniel resolved. King James would say, Daniel determined in his heart or purposed in his heart, King James says, that he would not defile himself. And you start with the determination to do what is right and do what God has told you to do. That's where it begins. But then I wrote the word respect because Daniel not only gave respect to those in authority, but Daniel also, you can see obviously in the story, he had the respect of those in authority. In other words, he wasn't a jerk about other things. So therefore, they respected him and were willing to listen to him. You know, I could illustrate that in the workplace. You know, somebody who's a lazy, good-for-nothing worker comes in and says, boss, can I have this day off? I really need it for this, this, and this. The boss is going to be like, you don't work when you are here, you know, that type of thing. But Daniel had been honorable. Daniel had done the right things. He saw this. He had a good relationship. God had blessed him with that good relationship. And then what Daniel did, he didn't go in and pound his fist and say, you know, no matter what, I cannot do this wickedness. But what he did instead is he had a request. He said, could we do this instead? Could we try this? Give me 10 days. Work stuff like that. But I thought these are some great principles for dealing with a conflict that you would have with authority when it's time. And with each one of these areas, and I suggest this to the small groups, I have at least one question in there that will help you out with this, but you can do this more. With each one of these things, yes, we are called to submission. We are not called to be total doormats or to be abused. So where do you find the balance there, if you will? Okay, now let's go on and see what else he says. Let's move into not just harmony in the world, but harmony in the workplace. Okay, and now I'm continuing now to read from 1 Peter. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Some of the translations will use the word slave. That is not an inaccurate translation. That is right. The Bible is not saying slavery is good or bad here. What it is saying is that's the world you're living in. Okay, that's the situation that you have. Some slaves could not purchase their freedom. Others in that system could purchase their freedom and eventually get out of it. But that's the world they were in. So let's talk about this world that you're in. Be subject to your masters with all respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, you endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because why? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow his steps. He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. He's quoting some of Isaiah 53 there. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Again, so much of that from Isaiah 53. Okay, so he says, servants, you are to be in submission to your boss. Okay, now let's pull out a couple things from this here. He said in there, this is something that we do, that when we honor our boss, we honor God. I tried to think of if I really have ever had like a abusive boss. I don't think I have in my life. I've had incompetent bosses who like to play crossword puzzles in their office while everybody else worked. But I'm not bitter. In fact, I've forgotten all about it. I had a boss who was, I don't know if this is a word, nepotistic. He, you know, I worked with his kids, and it was a little bit iffy sometimes. But I don't think I've ever had anybody who was actually like mean to me. I am sure many of you have. I'm sure many of you have been in situations where it just plain wasn't good. So first of all, I want to remind you that when we honor our bosses, we honor God. Secondly, that second phrase up there is just to remember, and this is emphasized throughout that. If you go back and read what we just read again, when we do this, we are following Christ's example. Well, why am I saying that? Was there ever anybody who was more mistreated and yet behaved the right way? No, there was not. Was there anybody who faced more of that opposition and more of that cruelty and unjust treatment and behaved the right way? So we want to strive to be like Jesus. Therefore, we want to strive the best way we can to handle it even when we are not treated well. Okay, that is crucial. However, I put that last statement up there. Today, it is not the exact same system, and you can change jobs. So once again, you get into this thing where you have to kind of find the balance of saying, okay, at what place am I looking at this thing and saying, this is so abusive that I need to move into a different work, or this is so bad, or this is such a rough situation that I can. I do want to caution you with this. Again, I'm just going to be the old man here for a second who's seen a lot of things. A lot of times, we go from one rough situation to a worse situation, and a worse situation and a worse situation. And you also ought to consider that if every situation you get into has a bad boss, the boss might not be the problem. Okay, yeah, we have to consider that. Okay, I remember, you know, a kid one time that had gone out and got their first job, and a week later I said, hey, how's that job going? And he said, I quit. I'm sorry, she said, I quit. I said, what was wrong? And she said, the boss is so bossy. I was like, oh, I don't know. You want to play it back for her. Did you hear what you just said? The boss is so bossy. Yes, that's kind of comes with the whole thing. But we are definitely able to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ, the pattern that he set, when we endure bad treatment and handle it well. Even if we do end up changing jobs, we handle it well. Like that. Pick it up. Okay, now let's get to the third one here. Harmony at the home. And we will read as we move into chapter 3. By the way, let me get two things that will get me in trouble here out of the way right off the bat. One is, there are 6 verses for the women and 1 for men. I didn't write it. I just had to say that so you can get your dirty looks out of the way and don't want to kill me. That's fine. Oh, by the way, I had one preacher too that I was listening to this week, and he decided to stop here and tell a joke about understanding women more. And he said, my wife told me that she wanted to be more in me to be more in touch with my feminine side. So I went out and crashed the car. I didn't tell that joke. Okay, I would never tell that joke, but he did. I was like, buddy, okay, I got that out of the way. Now let's get to the real stuff here. Okay, Peter writes, he says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on gold and silver, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be by the hidden person of the heart, that the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah, who obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Okay, now, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, let's take a few things here and remember. One of the things that Peter does here is he emphasizes testimony. He said at the beginning, hey, this is a great, great way to be a witness, is by your submission, like that. Now, let me stop here for just a second, understand. I said at the beginning, and I want to make sure I make this clear, whenever the Bible talks about submission, and in fact, in both Ephesians and Colossians, when it uses the phrase, wives submit, it has already said, let's all submit to each other. And then it is going to go through specifically and say, wives submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. That is also an act of submission in that way. It goes on, talks to parents and talks to children and talks to bosses and it talks to workers, and it tells them this how I submit. So this submission thing is for everybody. I mentioned that I was doing a wedding here last Saturday. By the way, I had a blooper. Wasn't as bad as some of my bloopers. You know, I didn't say, you know, anything about you. I didn't ask the woman if she takes this man to be her lawfully wedded wife, which I've done. But I did, I was talking about this idea. And what I was saying is I wanted her to remember the word honor and hero. Because I said men, and we're kind of fragile about this, we really like to hear how wonderful we are. I've told you many times, Francis has to flat out lie to me and tell me sermons were good sometimes because I like to hear how wonderful I am. And I was kind of talking about that a little bit, about how I wanted her to make him feel like the hero at home, because it's important, because God knows how he designed us. And that respect thing to men is very, 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 very important. It is. So I said to him, I said, you know that song by Aretha Franklin sings, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I said, that was sung by a woman, but it was written by a man. I said, it was written by William Gay. Now, here's the thing. I meant to say, you know what I meant to say? Marvin Gay. William Gay is a football player. Marvin Gay is the singer. But here's the sad part. It wasn't even Marvin Gay. It was Otis Redding. But anyway, I got it totally wrong. There was a guy in the front row who knew his music. He was like, who's marrying my kid? Okay. But anyway, the point that I want to get back to is this idea of how important that respect is, but that is a way that the wife is, if you will, submitting in testimony. And it says, emphasize, please, in here, he makes a good point of this, or a big point of this, emphasize that inner beauty, not the external beauty. Okay, as we know from experience, if somebody can be incredibly beautiful, but when you find out they're ugly on the inside, they don't quite look as beautiful anymore. And the example that he uses is interesting there, because Sarah was a woman that was actually known for her beauty. She was incredibly beautiful. But he says, don't let that be your calling card, if you will. Don't let that be the most important thing. Be known for the inner beauty is the message that he has. And I don't have anything to put in that blank. I'll let you fill that in. Keep it clean. But understand this, even in this situation, husbands might be because, and the reason I say that is, again, the illustration that he used. Do you all know some of the things Abraham did? If you don't, let me highlight two of the most classic. Okay, he's going into a town. At that time, if kings saw a beautiful woman and wanted her, they might kill the husband so they could get the wife. So he'd go into the town, saw that he was going in with his beautiful wife, and he said, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Now listen, I've done a lot of bad things as a husband, but I've never done that. I've never denied that she's my wife and says she's something else. Abraham was not a wonderful husband. He did that twice. Okay, and he had some other notable flaws that we can find in Scripture. So I just want to remind you again, when it talks about submission, it is talking about, hey, yeah, you're in a rough situation underneath Rome. Yes, you're in slavery here. That's not a good situation. Yes, you might not have a husband who's the greatest in the world, but let's talk about what this submission can do. Okay, now, if we move, however, to that one verse that is direct to the men, we also find a lot of things in there. And one of the things I want you to know notice is it begins with the word likewise. Husbands, do the same thing in the same manner, some translations will say, that men are definitely supposed to submit to them. Now again, understanding that God knows how we're wired, most important aspect of that is that I love her as Christ loved the church. Okay, that my submission is shown in my love for her like that. And again, that's what I'm going to say. If you ever come to me and say, my wife won't submit, I'm going to turn around and say, well, here's what we can work on. Let's love like Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? Second thing, enter her world. It says to treat her with understanding, okay? Think about this phrase for a second. This is kind of cool. Enter her world, understanding. You understand what's going on in her world. Do you know anybody who out of love entered your world? Have you ever heard this story around December about the God of the universe entering our world in love? And another example of how we can be like Jesus in entering into her world with love and caring like that. And the third thing he says, respect her as the weaker vessel. Totally talking here about physical weakness. Now, I don't want to contradict any of the great scientists of today. Yes, I do. But yes, men have more muscle mass. Men are different than women. Honor her femininity is what it's saying. Honor her femininity. Can't say the word, but if I could, I would say honor her femininity. Notice the difference. Have it be respected. Have it be seen. Have it to be honored in that way. Okay? I know that might not be the message that you're hearing all the time today, but that is God's message. Is that God, I created you different. Honor that in her. Honor that fact that she is feminine and vice versa. Okay, now, as we look at all this, I want to, let's go back to our little quote about submission. Submission in the true sense is having love and respect for one another so that we approach each other with humility. I want us to understand that this concept, what it leads us to, this concept of submission and harmony, leads us to basically, we want to treat people well. In fact, we want to treat people, if we can get this down, better than they deserve. Again, I heard a pastor tell a story about going to a restaurant, and he got terrible service. The waitress was been there. I mean, she didn't want to be working that day. She treated him like dirt. The food was late. The food was bad. She was just rude. She wasn't very nice about anything. So at the end of the thing, he decided that he would put down a $100 tip. Okay, he laid a $100 bill in there. Now, I was just thinking, I brought my basket here. Everybody is at it. I miss the good old days when 15% was a generous tip. You know, now it's like 20% and you feel like you're cheap. And you have to tip everybody. Everybody has a basket out. So I thought, there you go. I'm kidding. Don't tip me. It would be depressing. And I know what Adam will do. Here's a tip. In fact, he's already referred to that. What he did is he set down this $100 bill, and she, you know, is cleaning the table, and she finds it, and she runs over to him while he's leaving and says, "Sir, you left this on the table." And he said, "Don't you tip here?" And she said, "I was terrible to you. Why would you do this?" And his story was that then he got to lead her to Jesus Christ and tell her about God's love. Okay, now a preacher told the story, so I don't know if it's completely true, but what it does do is incredibly illustrate that idea of I'm going to treat people in submission, okay, I'm going to show grace and mercy, and I'm going to treat people, okay, remember again, we're trying to imitate Jesus Christ, right? Okay, think with me for a moment here about Jesus, who though he was, Philippians 2 tells us, in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. Okay, that's our Jesus. Okay, well, last week we observed communion. We have two different ordinances that we do around here. We do baptism and we do communion. But some churches, when they do communion, they add something else in there that was done the night of the Lord's Supper. Do you know what that is? They wash feet. Brethren churches, I think, are particularly known for that. If you're like me and have ticklish feet, you want to enjoy it. Avoid the brethren church. No. But seriously, would you think with me for a moment? Picture that night. Okay? The disciples are there. Probably their normal conversation was, you know, hey, you know what I did today? You know, that type of thing. That's how they were. They hadn't figured out yet that Jesus had come to die for them. They didn't get it yet. And these are people that Jesus knew one of them is going to sell them. One of them is going to totally betray him. He's going to sell him off. One of them is going to deny him three times. He's going to curse. I don't know him. The rest of them are going to scatter and hide and in their own way deny that they even know him. And what is Jesus doing that night? Isn't that amazing? And when you think about our Savior in that way, isn't it amazing to think that Jesus would be walking around getting down on his knees in front of each one of them and washing their feet? That's mind-boggling to me. But it captures so well this ultimate concept of I'm going to treat people with mercy and I'm going to treat people with grace. That is really what submission is. I have a loving respect for other people like that. As I said before, there are some gray areas in these different things we talked about. Government, is there a place where you disobey? Yes, there is. Try to figure out where it is. Boss, is there a place where you need to move on? Yes, there is. And it's tough sometimes to figure out where that is. Even with your spouse, there is a place where it is abusive. And I'm not suggesting that we stay in any of that or that there be like that. But what I'm saying is Jesus said in the way we ought to live here is like he lived. And that is I'm preferring others. I'm putting them ahead of myself. That is the message of this. That is how we create harmony. We have this respect and this love for other people. So we approach it with that attitude. Now, let me go back to our harmony picture in the music here. Nobody's higher, nobody's lower, but we have different positions. No, that's not how I meant to say that. Nobody's better than anybody else, but we have different positions, different roles as far as that goes. And I will refer you again to the Holy Trinity, in which the Father submitted to, I'm sorry, Jesus submitted to the Father, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he does what I tell him to do, but they are completely equal. Okay, let me say that again. They had different roles, but they were completely equal. And we see that when I'm talking about humility, I'm not saying, boy, I'm less than you. I'm not as important as you. I'm insignificant. We are all, if you want to say equal there before God, but we do have different roles. And what Peter is saying, in those different roles, you want to know how you can live out your faith? Submission is a big part of that when you understand those different roles. Is that resonating a little bit? Okay, team's going to come back up, or I guess it's just Jan and Adam today. That's a big team. But they're going to come back up so that we can end the service in worshiping the Lord again. But as we do that, I really would encourage you, if you would, to say, you know, God, where is this? Where is this for me? Okay, what is the application of this? And for most of it, it can be super simple. Who is it that my natural tendency is to say, get out of here. That God, you would have me instead say, how can I love this person? How can I respect this person? How can I treat them differently than what they deserve? Because that's exactly what the King of Kings would do, and he would show them this love. Was Jesus a total doormat and everything like that? I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is that he constantly treated people better than what they deserve. I'll put my name at the top of that list. He definitely has treated me so much better than I deserve. Let's praise him together again.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Thomas of Community Church in Edwardsburg. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, edwardsburg.church. You may also contact the church via email, info@edwardsburg.church, or call us at 269-663-2648. Thank you for listening.